Who else on the card? Joseph Benavidez against Dustin Ortiz.
Yeah.
That's a rematch. That fight happened a couple of years ago, too. I remember that. I think that was on... It was November of 2014 when they fought on the Cub Swanson Frankie Edgar card.
I think that was the one, yep.
Yeah, that's a good matchup.
Number two versus number eight. Yeah, two ranked fighters.
I think Benavidez is... He's at the top of the division. Why is he rematching somebody that's kind of on and off? I'm not sure.
UFC, sometimes they're scheduling the way they match fighters up sometimes. I scratch my head too. Don't worry. I'm in the same boat as you, man. I scratch my head quite a bit.
Weird being a fan, you know?
All right.
You just kind of work with what you're given.
And then the last card on last fight on the card, Glover Teixeira and Carl Robertson.
I think Glover Teixeira originally had a different opponent. Carl Roberson is all right.
Yeah, Roberson. Yeah, sorry. Not Robertson. Roberson. Baby K.
I don't have too much info on Roberson, but who doesn't know Glover Teixeira? He's been around for a long time now. He's even challenged for the belt against John Jones back in 2014.
Yep. Of course, lost.
He lost the fight. No one's been able to really beat John Jones yet, but he put up a pretty respectable effort.
But yeah, Carl Roberson 6-1 in his MMA career.
I looked up the odds, and Robertson's actually the favorite for the fight.
I'd imagine he looks younger. He looks more in shape. And I think I watched Roberson fight not last month or 2 months ago. I think he was on a card, and he won. But yeah, he looks pretty good, Roberson.
Yeah, I just don't... He doesn't stand out to me, but...
We'll have to see. Maybe he makes his impression after tonight, you know? Well, we'll see.
That's what the theme of this card seems to be, putting people with name value against lesser-known fighters and seeing what just happens. Are these guys making their debuts or with barely any fights in UFC going to make a name of themselves on this card? Or are the old-timers going to, you know...
Put them in their place and, you know, retain their names.
Well said.
Their status.
Exactly. I don't know. I do feel like Teixeira's a little robbed of being the favorite in this fight. I don't make the odds, but if you're going to bet and Teixeira is the underdog, that's some good money. I'd say go ahead and do that. But by the time this is aired, you won't be able to go in and bet on this. No problem. By the time this does air, though, there will be a fight card on ESPN Plus. It'll be their second card on ESPN. This card is headlined by Marlon Moraes against Rafael Assunção. Marlon Moraes was a former fighter in the World Series of Fighting, where he was their bantamweight champ. And in the UFC, he's looked really impressive by scoring back-to-back head kick knockouts. Pretty impressive. He's someone that trains with Frankie Edgar in New Jersey. That's championship-level training partner right there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Frankie Edgar.
Edson Barboza was a part of that camp as well, but he switched camps. Eddie Alvarez is in that camp. That's another big name in that camp there.
Yeah. And actually... Oh, no. Sorry. Never mind. Continue.
Well, you have a good camp that he's out of. This is time for Marlon Moraes to shine. Rafael Assunção has been around for a while, and I think his biggest win so far to date is TJ Dillashaw, but that was avenged by TJ not long after it happened. Okay, I shouldn't say not long. It was a couple of years later, but TJ was able to avenge that loss, and since then, Rafael Assunção was kind of just, you know, lingered at maybe around top five for the past few years.
He's just ranked at number three right now. And yeah, Morales, Moraes is the number four. So yeah, two highly ranked fighters.
It's good.
Yeah, it'll be,
you should keep an eye out on Marlon Moraes.
Because of course we got Moicano and Aldo on that card too.
Ooh, that's a really good fight.
Yeah, Maya and Good, Oliveira, Tamer. Yeah, there's a lot of good fights that night too.
I don't know why they have Charles Oliveira at the bottom. I'm sure by the time that this airs, they'll have the fight card in a better order. And Charles Oliveira will be more at the top.
Yeah, versus David.
Give him more exposure, please. He is leading the UFC with the most submission wins. Throw him up more closer to a main event spot, co-main event spot. If not, open up the card with him.
It's like give him the shot they gave Zabit, Magomed Sharipov a few months ago, because he was on the fight pass card, and then when that whole Connor thing went down with Chessa and Ray Borg getting hurt, they bumped him up to the main card, and look what happened to him. He's a star now.
That was a blessing for Zabit.
Yeah,
a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, because Zabit's a star now. People know who he is now, and they've seen his fight style. I remember watching his first fight, and I'm like, this guy's a ninja.
For
this
real.
This guy should be like fighting on the main card.
He's like Showtime Pettis with like an offensive wrestling game.
Yep.
And
really good grappling game because, oh, that submission, his last submission there. I don't even know what to call that. I don't even know what to call that like style of leg lock he did.
Like a variation of a knee bar, but from the back position.
From the back position.
It was really impressive and creative too. He had the back and then he took his leg, put him in a knee bar from it. It must have been agonizing to be in that position to have like, your leg messed up in that fashion.
Basically, he almost like pulled his like leg behind his head.
For real.
And like I was just watching, I'm like, oh, that looks like it hurts. He's going to tap. Oh, look, he just tapped.
He makes everything look effortless too. Mm-hmm. When he's doing his spinning attacks, whatever you want to call it, kicks, when he's showing off his style and he's in the zone, it's a thing to behold, for real.
So yeah, I think I'm with you. Oliveira kind of does deserve that kind of like, you know,
the
like
spotlight.
Just that chance. Give him that chance. Put him on, even if it's the first fight of the card, like give him that chance.
For real. He's leading the UFC with the most submission wins. His last fight, he just extended the record. Pretty crazy to have the most submission wins in the modern era.
Yeah.
Considering how hard it is to pull off some of the submissions he's got. I think he has a calf slicer win in the UFC.
Yep.
Who pulls off a calf slicer at the highest level? That's crazy. You said Jose Aldo's fighting as well?
Yeah, Jose Aldo versus Renato Moicano. Moicano.
I don't know how to pronounce it either, but he is someone to keep an eye out on as well. If you know him, well, you know that his only loss is to Brian Ortega.
Yep.
But Jose Aldo, since losing his title to McGregor, has been more active than ever.
Yep.
As a champion, he was more conservative, picking his fights maybe 2 times a year at most.
This is going to be like his third fight this. Oh, well, it's 2019, but like he fought a bit in 2018, though.
He did.
Yeah.
Like when he had the rebound win against Jeremy Stephens, finished him with that left hook to the body.
Oh, that was, I felt that when I seen that, I was like, oh, I feel like I just want to throw up right now. Cause like, I felt like
you could see how he snatched his soul. And just
I felt like my diaphragm just collapsed and like my lungs collapsed and like, even like my kidney like ruptured, like just watching that. Yeah. I was like, oh man, that looked like it hurt.
Yeah, man. Well, I don't know who to really go for in this fight.
This is actually one of those fights I'll just let them, you know, just sit back, watch. Don't even make no bets. Don't even pick a winner yet. Just watch Aldo and Moicano. Just watch these two Brazilians just go at it and see who's gonna win. Who wants it more out of the two?
Yeah.
Because I think they both have something to gain and lose, these two fighters, out of this fight.
This card is a little more even talent-wise. Mm-hmm. Jose Aldo against Moicano is more closer in the rankings than having, let's say, Hernandez against Cerrone.
Yeah.
Hernandez is only 2-0 in the division. Moicano, besides losing to Ortega, has won every fight he's been in so far. You could even argue he was beating Brian Ortega in that fight until he shot in for a double leg and got caught in a choke.
Got caught in the guillotine.
That's the way she goes, though. Who else is on the card? Damian Maia against Lyman Good.
Oh, another notable. We got Saeed Nurmagomedov fighting versus Ricardo Ramos.
Okay, Nurmagomedov. I'm not too familiar with him. How many fights has he had in the UFC so far?
I'm not sure how many fights in the UFC, but he's got an 11-1 MMA record.
Okay.
Yeah, versus... Oh, that actually, they're both... they both only have one loss each. Ricardo Ramos, 12-1. Saeed, he's 11-1.
Where is that in the order? Are they giving him promotion?
I think these guys are on the main card. So far, there's actually 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There's 12 on the main card, but then again, of course, they're going to split some off into the prelims. And
as like a more of a hardcore fan, I like when they showcase, you know, sometimes there's fighters I don't even know about, and it's cool when they showcase the Saeed Nurmagomedov. I'm going to have to look out for him.
And also, Thiago Alves will be fighting Max Griffin that night too.
Man, Thiago Alves.
I was saying a while ago, like, can't believe that guy's still in the UFC.
Yeah. Dude's a veteran.
I remember his title fight against GSP. That was actually like pretty fun to watch because like there was chances like when Alves was like landing shots and like, no way, is he gonna land that knockout? Like, I think he's gonna.
That was nearly a decade ago.
But St. Pierre was able to like, you know, always land those like double legs that he lands. The effortlessly looking double legs that St.
That was
St.
Pierre when he first won his title and he was really active.
Mm-hmm.
Not active in terms of taking fights often, but I'm talking about his style inside the cage.
Yeah.
Just really putting it on his opponents. pressing the action and being the aggressor rather than just looking for a takedown. He really mixed up his striking a lot more.
Mixed up his striking when he's seen the opportunity. And I find, like, I studied it a little bit, like, his takedowns. Like, it's brilliant how he does it. Like, he waits for you to, like, throw, like, a power shot and, like he waits for you to be, like, off balance. And once you're off balance, he, like, shoots in, like, a missile.
Yeah.
Like, he goes in so fast, and it's like a split second. Like, he's got both your legs, and he's, like, shoulder to your...
He's the best at what he does.
Yeah.
Mixing up the strikes with takedowns, he's the best at it. That shoot box style. He's got really good coaches that just, you know, they come up with this game plan, and they use the game plan down to a T. Damian Maia on the card, too. He needs to rebound.
Yeah, Damian Maia versus Lyman, good. Should be another decently good fight.
I like that they're giving him Lyman good. Damian Maia was fighting the best of the best for a while, under weird conditions, too.
Yeah.
When they gave him his title fight, it was just a couple of weeks before his title eliminator.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a nice fight. Like, what did they set a record for the least amount of action?
Least amount of strike, yeah. Least amount
in
of
a UFC, was it a UFC fight or title fight? I can't remember.
It was a title fight, because that's what happens when you fight Tyron Woodley. Nothing happens. As of late, anyways, earlier in his career, Woodley used to be awesome.
Yeah.
He was good to watch. But then after that second fight with Wonderboy, like, he got
really tentative. Yeah.
He's like, I got the title now. Now I really have to be, like, conservative about it. It's like, no, man, keep fighting the way you were fighting, man. It was exciting. And
guys just don't want to let go of the belt.
You were knocking people out. Oh, that knockout on Robbie Lawler was, like, epic.
I lost some money for that one.
I'm sure a lot of people lost money, because I did. I bet on Lawler, too. But, man, that was a great fight to watch Woodley just... Oh, it was, and then you've never seen that kind of Tyron Woodley since. Well, actually, you saw it against him.
Darren Till.
Well, Darren Till's great.
When Darren Till fought Woodley, though, he really brought out that old school style of his where he put the pressure on him. I think the problem with Woodley is that he game plans specifically for his opponent and implements that game plan, and sometimes it's just not pretty. When he fought Damian Maia, he made sure he wasn't taken down so Maia couldn't use his game.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't let Maia, for any second of the fight, have a chance of taking him down.
And same thing with Wonder Boy. He's like, I'm just not going to get in his range, because his range is... Those legs can, like, extend and, like, kick anybody at, like...
From any side, from any angle.
Any angle, like that. His Taekwondo is insane.
He's... Yeah. I guess his stock went down a little bit since that Wonder Boy fight.
Yeah.
But how can you blame him? Wonder Boy is one of the best of the best.
I actually really liked watching that fight between him and Darren Till. That was actually a really good fight.
That was a good fight. Darren Till had a lot of hype going into the fight. But man, Woodley was just able to smother him against the cage, drop him with a big overhand, and then finish him with a darts choke.
Yep.
Brilliant. We were talking about Damian Maia, though. Damian Maia's skid right now. Who did he lose to after that fight? I think it was Colby Covington.
Is Covington that beat
Covington.
Him?
Covington.
Colby Covington, a.k.a. Trump's biggest fan.
Ah, yeah. Probably the only fighter that got to visit Trump in the White House. Probably the only fighter that wanted to visit Trump in the White House.
Oh, he's like a actively like vocal like supporter of Trump. He like loves the dude.
Instead of... he stole his slogan. He's like, make the welterweight division great again.
Great again.
Make the UFC great again. The guy's a nutcase.
He's good though he's good for the UFC though, and like characters and fighters like that, like him, McGregor, the guys that like to talk a lot, and
it sells
stuff like that sells, and it gets fans, and it creates a buzz that, like, even if you don't like him and you hate on him, you're still feeding into that buzz, like,
yeah,
F that guy because he likes Trump and like he's all like that American guy, but like, hey, some people love that, and like it's like I said, it's good for the company.
Most guys I can tell when they're putting on a persona, an act, but there's something about Colby Covington that makes me cringe.
Him. That's him, though. That's
you totally, really think that's him?
Yeah. Oh, I loved especially when he called out. He didn't exactly call out John Jones, but like he made that little comment, and then Rogan even told him, "Is like, dude, like he'll kill you." And then the way he responded to Rogan, like that whole thing was funny.
Yeah. There's just times where Covington looks a little bit like a crybaby. Like, I know they screwed him over by giving Kamaru Usman the title shot over him.
Yep.
it's a little weird because Covington just won the interim belt off of Rafael Dos Anjos.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're giving the title fight to someone else. You have an interim champion, but you're not giving him...
You're not giving the interim champ the chance to go against the real champ.
I don't know.
Usually that's the formula, isn't it? Like,
it should be.
Dana White has... There's always a method to his madness. He does things and, you know, you complain about it at first. Like, oh, why is this card like set up this way? Why does this guy get this shot? But like, it works out like in the end.
Yeah. Apparently Covington was also injured or something. He couldn't make the date that Woodley wanted to fight on. We'll see what happens with all this. Like you said, there's a method to Dana's madness.
Yep. There's always a method.
Brought the company this far, so I can't really doubt his decisions.
His tactics on booking cards and fighters and putting things the way they are. It's sometimes I know fans go nuts over it, but hey, it works.
Yeah. Well, this is a podcast called Combat Spotlight. We're not just going to get into MMA. There was something I wanted to bring up that's been bugging me for a while. Jiu-jitsu has been illegal in Quebec for a couple of years now.
Yeah, almost since like 2015, 16. I think 16 was when it like started happening.
There was maybe a couple of isolated incidents before it was completely over the province of Quebec. Really, Canada had made non-professional combat sports illegal, but none of the provinces are enforcing it so far. So far, only Quebec is the only province where the police will go to an event and shut it down,
mm-hmm.
like a raid. It's weird.
Yeah, there was... I know this isn't like a fully like cause of the problem, but I know it's like part of it. But like there was like a battle between like promotions and a lot of like cutthroating going on, promotions like going behind each other's backs and like just beef. And if I remember right, like I got wind of this like from like someone on the inside that like one promoter went to the government or like the board of like safety and something like that and complained about them to like they complained about another promoter to this board, and basically this person like shot themselves in the foot because like this board or this like safety board ended up being like, well, if this is so bad, we're not just gonna outlaw it for this person, we're gonna outlaw it for all of you. So it's like basically one person ruined it for like everybody.
Man, what a crybaby.
Yeah,
ruin it for everybody.
One promoter ruined it for like everybody. And I remember I was going into a tournament somewhere like out in Saint Jerome or like Longueuil. There was supposed to be a jits tournament in the gym, and yeah, I remember like me, a couple of guys from my gym, like we signed up, we were ready to go. Like,
yeah,
we were about to like go to it the next day. Then all of a sudden, like, my coach gets an email like the night before, like it was like a relayed message, like basically it was like the police or the government like telling like the companies like, you just can't have your tournament. If you do have your tournament, like anybody at like the site will be arrested, like,
yeah,
because they're breaking the law.
Yeah,
we're gonna ruin all the fun. Everyone thought they were bluffing, and then come next day, you know, my trainer says like, you know what, hang out at your house. Like, I'll message you guys like later on in the day to see like what's going on. Sure enough, at noontime, he's like, yep, tournament's off. Like,
yeah,
the police were there.
They were serious about
they
it.
They were ready to shut it down right from the get-go, arrest people. But
I know what other provinces were doing. The police would show up, but they would not arrest anyone and they wouldn't shut down the event. They would just stand around and like there were more security.
More security, yeah. I know Ontario, like, they didn't like outlaw it, but they put like a temporary, I'd say, a hold on it, because like they even said it, they're like, we're not banning it, we're not outlawing it, we just want to make it safe. Because I remember for a while they stopped, but now Ontario's like back up now. They have like all their tournaments in Toronto, yeah, Ottawa, and so forth and so on. But that scared me because I'm like, well, I can't compete here in Quebec. How the heck am I going to compete anywhere? I can't go to Ontario. I'll have to go to the States.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Toronto, over the border, but just to compete.
But Ontario did that for a bit, and it was more for safety. They're like, we just want to make more safety guidelines and make the sport more safe for amateurs. You know, they want to put more things in place. And yeah, they did, and it's working for them. Unfortunately, Quebec's not on that same page. We're still...
Come on, Quebec, get it together.
Almost 3 years, and we're still like at the same spot, you know.
That's why I want to shed some light on it. It doesn't seem like anything is really happening or pushing us in the right step towards legalizing it. It doesn't necessarily have to be legalized. I understand the rules for it. They want to make sure that there's some sort of regulation going on for these amateur combat sports. Yep. But so far, the rules state that only sports that are approved by the Olympic Committee can participate in competitions. You're letting people go and train for these events, yet you're not letting them showcase what they've been working so hard towards and, you know, going medal, going place, going compete.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of robbery. Considering the other provinces are on board with it, how come Quebec is not on board with it? Pretty weird.
And I would actually consider like jiu-jitsu very like in the same class as like judo, you know, the way the tournaments are run and even like the everything, they're very similar. So
of course they're similar. Jiu-jitsu is derived from judo.
Yeah. So it's like, it's very like mind puzzling to like see like jiu-jitsu not getting like allowed or like being outlawed like around here. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating
because it's an element of mixed martial arts, but it isn't mixed martial arts. You know, it's just grappling. You're not punching somebody. You're not elbowing or kicking.
Exactly.
You're just grappling. You know, at most you're choking or you're leg locking or knee barring. That's like at worst, you know, if you got someone in an arm bar, Kimura, they can easily tap. Like those are the more dangerous things. But like, of course, in like judo, I've seen guys get like thrown and like they accidentally stuck their arm out and their arm gets like mangled because they posted the wrong way after being thrown, and it happens, you know. Accidents happen,
of course they happen in any sport. They happen in skateboarding, they happen in basketball, they happen in football.
Mm-hmm. it would just be cool to see jiu-jitsu finally regulated and allowed again in Quebec.
Exactly. It isn't just jiu-jitsu that's legal. I know that kickboxing, besides at the professional level, is also legal.
Yeah,
as well.
Muay Thai's been kind of outlawed.
It's Muay Thai, not kickboxing.
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, it's the Muay Thai. Well, the kickboxing is still regulated because they still have their thing at the Montreal Casino.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. So it's not kickboxing, but it is Muay Thai.
Yeah, Muay Thai's been...
It's amateur MMA as well.
I guess just because there's the knees and the elbows like involved with Muay Thai, whereas like the kickboxing that goes on at like the Bell Center, I mean not the Bell Center, the casino. It's just punching and kicking, like I've seen it, and it's very basic.
Yeah.
It's not like Muay Thai, you know, when they're clinching, throwing knees, throwing elbows, spinning knees, like flying knees, spinning elbows. You know, you don't get that stuff in like those kind of bouts at the casino.
You're pretty lucky to get that stuff at all in any fight.
Yeah. Well, I've seen a few smokers, like actually Muay Thai smokers are still allowed in Montreal, but they got to be.
Because they're not technically, it's more of an exhibition than anything. It's not an event. So although some gyms do charge a fee to come sit there and watch, it's not technically an event.
Yeah, because of course they put it on like at their own gym. They gotta like cover some stuff.
Yeah,
and it's a way for the gym to like
make a little bit of money on
make
the
a
side,
little bit of money, but
showcase their fighters. Mm-hmm. So you got to work around these rules. Another way to work around the rules is by holding these events on native reserves.
Yeah, because well, of course, like we have our different laws and our different, like you know, we're allowed to do what we want on our reservation. So, you know, you got like Fight Quest, Montreal Fight League, like happening right now. Like Fight Quest is in Ganawage, MFL is in Gunasadage right now. And there's actually another grappling. There is jiu-jitsu tournaments happening, but it only happens in Gunasadage, and it probably only happens once every 6 months or a couple months. It's not consistent like, let's say, grappling industries where there's like one every month or IBJFF. It's not like constant like those.
The big tournaments, they can't come here.
Yeah.
They're not technically SAU. Professional sports are allowed in Quebec. Apparently, grappling industries isn't considered professional, although they do have an advanced bracket. Speaking of advanced, Ethan had won. For those listening, my friend had competed at advanced for the first time and just placed silver in there. It was not in Quebec. It was over in Toronto.
Yeah, he had to drive. Actually, right after he finished his tournament, he came. I saw him right after that at the bar.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, what's up, Ethan? I was like, hey, what's up, Ethan? He's like, oh, not much. I just got back from Toronto. I'm like, Toronto? He's like, yeah, I just competed, won silver. I'm like, oh, really? What, yesterday? He's like, no, today. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. Congrats.
Good for you. I was like, good for you, man. But I'm like, hey, you're out to celebrate.
Yeah. Well, that's the advanced division. I mean, he medaled in the advanced division. That's what's there not to celebrate about.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ethan. You'd see a lot more people competing and meddling if it was legal in Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're really taking a lot from people by having this illegal. I mean, you're not a criminal by doing this, yet it's still illegal. Man, the rules are a little weird.
Yeah, laws sometimes, they could be tricky. They could be a little frustrating. Hopefully, everyone gets their stuff together soon, though, and like can get past, you know, the stupidness that caused this in the first place.
Yeah.
And let this happen. Because, yeah, let's face it, I would love for tournaments to be happening here in Quebec where, you know, like you have to train, and then drive 5+ hours out to compete, you know, either in Toronto or Vermont, New York. Because I know a few people actually that compete in like New York City, in New York State.
Yeah. Not just New York City, but also they go to Plattsburgh.
They go to like Rochester and
Saratoga Springs, Syracuse.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the closest to go is probably Plattsburgh.
Yeah.
But to rely on an event in Plattsburgh, you're waiting maybe once a year, maybe once every 2 years. As far as I know, since it's been illegal, they've only had Grappling Industries has only had one event in Plattsburgh. I'm sure there's more events, but Grappling Industry seems to be the biggest grappling promotion around here.
Yeah, in this area anyways.
Yeah.
SAU was big till they got outlawed because SAU was Submission Arts United was happening, Ontario, Quebec, and I think even like New Brunswick, it was like happening like in this like small little area of like Eastern Canada.
Yeah.
But then ever since the outlaw happened, yeah, it had to move out, and even them too, they took, like I said, they took that little hit when Ontario like just put a hold on it, because I was actually supposed to compete in SAU, and then that stuff happened in Ontario, and that's where I was just like, you know what, like for now I quit. You know, I get fed up of like, you know, like putting in all this like sweat, training and effort into an event, and then all of a sudden it just gets like canned or delayed or postponed.
Man,
it's frustrating when you're trying to build yourself up to something and like just that happens.
Yeah.
Happened like 3 times in a row, so I'm like, you know what? I'm still gonna train because like I love it, but I think on a competing like level, like till everything gets like leveled out and like established where like I could actually like pick where I'm gonna go compete and like work around like a schedule to compete, then that's when I'm gonna get back into it.
Yeah.
But like none of this like getting myself ready for something and all of a sudden, nope, it's not happening no more,
like all that work for nothing.
Yeah.
Man.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating, man. Similar situation. I was waiting for... I competed in Grappling Industries two Januaries ago, and they were supposed to return that upcoming April, and I was previously mentioned, I was with my friend Ethan, my buddy. He was a little more active because he was competing in other submission tournaments. I had chosen Grappling Industries because they're a round robin format, and you can compete in both gi and no gi, which is pretty cool, getting your experience for both sports in the same day. Yeah, it's jiu-jitsu, but I find that the gi is a completely different sport than no gi.
Well, because you can grab onto lapels, you can grab the pants, the sleeves.
The timing, exactly. The pace.
You can grab the belts. Yeah,
it's different.
Whereas like no gi, like you can't grab the shorts. You can only just grab the ankles.
And a lot of squirming out of submissions and sweat.
Yep.
And, you know, when someone engages into something, there isn't a whole lot of stalling because there isn't a whole lot of grips or anything to grab on. But yeah, I was totally preparing for a tournament and it became outlawed. And I started looking into more striking training. And I think a lot of people that I know have done the same too, since there isn't a viable way to compete in jiu-jitsu, a lot of people have turned to striking. And I know the gym I go to really profited off that. The striking coach did anyways. Class has never been more booming. But, you know, jiu-jitsu classes have taken a hit too. Now that there's no real way to go showcase your skills after putting in all the work and effort into the gym, I've noticed that the classes have also declined. Maybe it could just be where I go, but it's just an observation that I have. It's unfortunate it's illegal, but I'm hoping that maybe someone listening to this can steer us in the right direction into legalizing it. Like I've said before, you put in so much work into this and there's just no way to really show it off. Then what's the point?
What's the point? Yeah.
You know, there is a point. There's personal reasons to train.
I wouldn't say show it off, but like showcase it, you know, like show people like what you've been doing and like
what also showing to yourself.
Are. Yeah.
You want to prove to yourself that it's the right thing that you're doing. You know, you
that put the training in, paid off,
that it's paying off. That's what I want to get at. Yeah. So, you know, it's a bummer, but it is what it is. I just wanted to bring it up, you know, legalize BJJ in Quebec, legalize jiu-jitsu. Come on, man.
Even amateur mixed martial arts, you know, bring it back. Make Quebec great again.
I know that Fight Quest is profiting off of this. They're still going strong.
Yep.
They're still holding events. They have an event February 25th.
Yeah, they're doing MMA and K1. You know what would be cool if Fight Quest did grappling?
if
they adapted it. Hey, look, you just heard me say it now. Make it happen.
We've been trying to convince
Peter and Steph.
We've been trying to convince the owners for a little bit. Everyone brings it up every once in a while. If you're a part of the people that know Fight Quest and stuff, you've probably brought it up at some point that you wanted you've wanted some jiu-jitsu around here. Well, the only loophole is to have it on reserves, and like you said, it does happen on reserves. It's just not this one in Gunawage.
I'm sure if they did, because I know a lot of grapplers. You know, I train over at BTT, and there's a lot of people enrolled there, like well over like close to 1,000 students.
Wow.
And that's like combining all the whites, the blues, the purples, the browns,
BTT's
and the blacks.
Team.
Yeah, BTT is really
it's
big
BTT
here.
It's BTT and Gracie that's the biggest ones around here.
Yep.
10th Planet's up there too, but I'd say that Gracie and BTT have the bigger teams.
Well, 10th Planet just only does no gi either too. They don't do gi.
No gi.
Yeah. Because like I talked to some of the guys. I talked to the guys like that train there, and like they're learning stuff. You know, 10th Planet guys are good, but like, yeah, they don't do the gi because like that's I talk to them and like try and compare stuff, and like they're like, oh, I don't know how to do that because I don't train in gi. I'm like, oh, you totally should just try it out, man. Like I don't push people to like do things. I just like give them little tidbits of information, like, oh, this is how it is like doing it with the gi. Maybe you should try it out. It's interesting, you know.
Yeah. You have a different perspective on it. Like whatever you learn in the gi, it can't completely be transferred into no gi, but just understanding the concepts of how to like really hold someone, it does pay off in no gi.
What's awesome about gi too is it's actually stuff you can apply like in real life, you know, like situations, like let's say you're in an alleyway and someone's like trying to like come at you.
Yeah.
If they're wearing pants and a jacket, oh man, you got that
a collar to grab.
You got collars, you got the sleeves, you got the bottom of the pants to grab.
The ankles,
you got so much to work with, and that's when everything you're like, ooh, like I'm a Swiss Army knife right now. I could like do so much with you.
Well, yeah. A knife is pretty dangerous to mess around with, but yeah. I totally get what you're saying. It's with the gi, it is more realistic for self-defense. And I don't know exactly what your goals are if you're planning on trying out the sport, but self-defense is totally a good reason.
Yeah, it's an aspect of jiu-jitsu. Actually probably one of the main aspects of jiu-jitsu, because it is really a self-defense martial art, but also it could be a very aggressive martial art. You know, you could be the aggressor with it too, but majority it is defensive, you know, like being in guard, and a lot of the techniques are your opponent coming at you and you just doing one simple movement that puts you on top and them on the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's very similar like with judo too, like, but jiu-jitsu I find is more ground oriented and
focus on the ground. Jiu-jitsu is more focusing on stand up. Well, jiu-jitsu is derived from judo too.
Yeah, yeah.
They do
throws,
they do
takedowns, and some of the submissions too, because they do arm bars too in judo.
Yeah, it's true.
There's some locks there, like submissions. You'll see, like, because I watch it in the Olympics sometimes too. It's awesome.
Yeah,
you'll see a guy like throw somebody down, and all of a sudden he grabs the other guy's arm, and you're like, oh fuck yeah, that looks great.
Are you familiar with Kayla Harrison?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, she fights at the PFL right now at 155 pounds. I'm pretty sure. Cut some weight, get signed by the UFC, fight Cyborg. There we go.
Yep.
We didn't get Rousey Cyborg. We could get Harrison Cyborg.
Cyborg, yep.
That's a good one. She's undefeated. She has 2 gold medals in the Olympics for judo. Ronda Rousey is like notoriously known for having a bronze medal. And from what I know, it's not from placing 3rd place. I think it's from 4th place. They still give you a bronze medal for that, as far as I know. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah. This is a 2-time gold medalist.
Gold medalist.
Henry Cejudo, 1 gold medal. Kayla Harrison, 2. Come on, UFC, sign her.
Yep. You know what to do.
Between now and when this airs, there's another fight coming up too. Fedor is fighting in the Bellator Heavyweight Grand Prix.
Ooh.
Ryan Bader in the finals. That's a good one.
Yep. That's going to be... It's weird, you know what? Like, I didn't see Bader going all the way. Like when I seen like the bracket in the beginning, I thought Fedor was gonna be there. I was seeing more like
there was King Mo, Chael Sonnen, Rampage, bunch of light heavyweights fighting at a heavyweight.
I actually thought like Actually, let me see like the bracket again from the beginning, because like I was saying, yeah, I was like I think I'm gonna see Fedor there, but like I was seeing somebody else other than Bader.
There was, oh, Matt Mitrione, I think you're thinking of, because there wasn't a whole lot of actual heavyweights that enlisted into the tournament. They brought up some
actually,
light heavyweights.
I thought Frank Mir was gonna go far.
Did you?
Yeah, I actually thought he would have like gone.
He fought Fedor.
He fought Fedor right off the bat and yeah. lost. Yeah.
Well. Frank Mir is sort of at the end of his career. So was Fedor, but I guess Fedor didn't take as much damage as Frank Mir, because when Frank Mir gets clipped, he doesn't always survive it. Do you see what happened to Frank Mir in his last fight too?
No, I missed that one. I didn't get to watch it.
He got his teeth kicked in. Okay, oh. Not kicked in, but he has like, I can't remember the name of the fracture, but it's not necessarily his teeth.
It's like his jaw. Eh?
Part of his gums, you know, behind the gums, yeah. There's still bone there, and he broke that. If it's not bone, it's enamel, but it's still breakable, and it's still painful, and there's still nerves involved.
Yeah, I thought like King Mo or Mitrione were like gonna go like to the end, but yeah, Mitrione got stopped by Bader, and
I can't remember how King Mo was eliminated.
Well, he lost to Bader, but yeah,
Bader had actually TKO'd him. I remember that now. Okay. Chael Sonnen had fought Rampage last January.
Yeah. And Fedor fought Mir, Mitrione versus Nelson.
I remember that card when Chael Sonnen fought, when he fought Rampage. Rory McDonald had fought for the welterweight title too.
Oh, and he got beat, didn't he?
When he was like wobbling on one leg. That was so close. I had said that Rory McDonald would win a decision, and it kind of looked like it was going that way. But then he was wobbling on one leg, and I'm like, You can't finish him, you know? I have to win this bet. I don't know. I did win the bet, but it was so close. Okay, we're getting close to the end of the show. I just want to do some closing words here. This is just the first episode of many more to come. We're Combat Spotlight, and once again, I just want to thank K103 for this opportunity to do this podcast. MMA is a sport that I love. It's a sport that Luke loves, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. It's a sport that so many of my friends love, and to have the chance to express my love and passion for the sport through this podcast is just incredible, you know? Shout out to Gerald and Java for making this happen. My co-host Luke Dabo for being an amazing co-host and savvy technician on the computer. Thanks for tuning into the last episode, guys. Many more to come. I'll see you.